We turn to the Gospel of John this morning, John chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. We will be considering all of the text, but we won't really be getting into all the details like an exegetical sermon. This is a topical sermon, and I'm going to highlight to you something in two of the verses that really stands out that I want to have us meditate on together as we listen to the voice of our good shepherd. So notice particularly what it says about Jesus' voice and what Jesus' powerful voice will do on the last great day. That's what we particularly want to consider with his preaching of this text this morning. John 5, verse 25 through 29, hear now the word of God, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon me, I almost started in chapter 6, verse 25 of chapter 5. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. This is the word of God. May those who have ears to hear the voice of Christ, and what the Spirit says to this church this day. Well, we read this scripture in our men's study Tuesday night. We were going through the fourfold nature of the fourfold state of human nature, and we're in the last section on glory, and the chapter was the resurrection. And the scripture that he had for the theme of his chapter on the resurrection was this scripture, which I would not have thought to go to as the main proof text for the resurrection, but it's a good one. But something really struck me as we read this. I said to the men, wow, I think I know what I'm going to preach on this Lord's Day. I think something's really powerful here revealed to us that I'd like to think about more together. I want you to consider that, men, as you go out today and distribute the door-to-door gospel tracts, calling people to hear the voice of Jesus Christ with the five solas of the Reformation and scriptures that prove those five solas. I want to encourage you, as you go out there today, we have only had one response in all the years we've done this. And that response was to tell us what's wrong with us. We're not Pentecostal enough, and therefore they don't want to come. And again, trying to reason from the scriptures it fell on deaf ears. And so it can get very discouraging to try to stand for the truth and have it rejected, and try to bring the voice of Jesus Christ to the people and have them not listen. And we can go out and do our door-to-door evangelism today and maybe feel like, why should we try? No one's listening. Well, the scripture today teaches us that while it's true that we are sending out a summons for the Lord Jesus Christ to be heard as the great judge, most won't hear it. On the other hand, it is a summons that one day will not fall on deaf ears. Jesus teaches us that when he announces his final judgment, Jesus teaches us that when he announces his final judgment, his very voice will awake the dead, and his very voice will raise the dead. Stop and try to take that in with me, beloved. How incredible and amazing that is. We learned from our Sabbath class today, the new class with R.C. Sproul, about Genesis. And in verse 3, it says that God spoke and there was light. And as Elder Maxwell brought us to Colossians, Jesus is the one through whom everything is created. Jesus is the one speaking and bringing the light. He spoke then to make everything exist out of nothing. Stop and try to consider this amazing power and authority of your Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing that many people deny today, including many in the church, they don't want to acknowledge creation out of nothing. They would rather make evolution the God and fit it into the scripture. They don't want to acknowledge that it says that God just spoke, and by his almighty voice, he didn't even have to lift a finger. And all things were created by the power of his voice. Let there be. And it was so. So Jesus speaks, he says, on the last great day again, at the end of the world that he created. The end of its corruption, the end of its pollution, the end of its rebellion against him. There'll be no more towers of Babel. There'll be no more Noah's arks. It'll be done. There'll be no more time for people to repent. In the last hour of this world, though many people now in the world will not hear Jesus' voice, in the last hour of this world, all shall rise when the beloved Son speaks. That is the message for you from this text. That is the message of the sermon for you today, to encourage you, beloved. Whatever it looks like now, all shall rise when the beloved Son speaks. And he is speaking right now in this message. You see, one of the things our text teaches us today is that there is a final judgment of all men that is certainly coming. There is a final judgment of all men that is certainly coming. All people are going to go to the Supreme Court on Judgment Day. No one will be able to avoid going to the Supreme Court. There will be no long dragging it out in the court system. There will be no long avoiding whatever punishment might come. The Supreme Court of God Almighty will be called by Jesus Christ, and all people will come to that hearing before him. Some people will be coming to their acquittal. They will be pronounced. Really, they have already been pronounced, but it will be before all the world. They will be vindicated as innocent because they are in Christ. But others will be coming to their execution. They will be coming to get their final sentence and then face their execution. They'll be drawn out of the prison of the time of hell in the intermediate state, and they will be drawn to be meted with their bodies again to be sent to their final execution in hell forever. Remember, what was the cross? What was the crucifixion? It was an execution. It was a Roman execution of criminals. And Jesus took that for his people so that they will not face eternal execution, but some will. Whether it is that some will be raised unto the resurrection of life, as he says, or whether it is that some will be raised to everlasting damnation, it's on the schedule for everyone at the same time. Both of those resurrections are scheduled to happen at the same time. Jesus says twice in our text today, in verse 25 and in verse 28, the hour is coming. The hour is coming. Judgment day is coming. Well, if we were to preach Judgment Day is coming in most churches today, if we are to bring it out to those on the streets, often they say, that offends me. I don't want to hear about judgment. God loves me as I am. God loves me for who I am. I'm a good person. I do good. I'm not going to be judged. I judge God for judging me. There's no judgment to come for me. This is what Pilgrim's own wife said to him, remember, in Pilgrim's Progress. This is what Pilgrim's own family and his own city and the city of destruction said. There's no fire coming. There's no judgment. We're not doing anything wrong. We don't want to read the book that warns of these things. But the hour is coming. The hour is coming, Jesus says, of judgment. Verses 28 and 29, we see judgment. We see the discerning, the distinguishing between good people and bad people. Now, we know that's based really on whether they're in Jesus, who is only good, or whether they're not in Jesus, and thus they remain corrupt and bad. But the reality is, he does say, you will know them by their fruits. There will be fruit that you can point to. And in the end, he will point to the fruit. Not to say we're meriting eternal life in ourselves, but to show you really did trust in Jesus for eternal life and brought that fruit out of yourself in this life. Or you didn't. And the fruit proves it. Remember at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, what did he say? Many will say that they prophesied in my name. Many will say that they did all kinds of good works in my name. Many will say, Lord, Lord, look at all I did for you. And he will say, what? Go away. I never knew you. I know you said you knew me, but I never knew you. Look at your fruit. In that same sermon, he says, you will know them by their fruit. The hour is coming when he will sift the wheat from the chaff. He will separate the sheep from the goats, and he will expose who are really his and who are really not. And their fruit will be the evidence of whether they are in and outside of the fold. The day, the last day, when Jesus comes back, is a day of judgment. It is judgment day. And there's many who want to hear nothing of such a day, including in the church. But Jesus is speaking of it in the text today, and he speaks of it often, such as, are you ready for the marriage feast? In many different illustrations of that, for the last great supper of the Lamb. Because if you're not, when you try later, you'll be kicked out. Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The dead standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Beloved, what do you see in that text about the end? The same thing Jesus is saying today. You will see that all the dead, every one of the dead, shall be raised from the dead to stand before God, and they will be judged. No one is going to get out of facing the Supreme Court on Judgment Day. Some will be called unto life in Jesus. Some will be called unto death because they never received the call of Jesus' voice here. All will be called on to meet their Maker. all will be called on to meet their Maker. And it might be scary to hear about judgment. We might be concerned, oh, will that send people away? But when you ever hear about a true work of the Holy Spirit in the history of the church, in the Bible or in later as we read books, when there is ever a real, lasting, life-changing revival in the church, it always begins with a conviction of sin and a fear of hell, so that we truly turn to Jesus for forgiveness of sin and the blessing of life. So let it not scare us to bring the message of judgment, because it's meant to bring those who would be rescued from that judgment to turn to Jesus Christ, that there would be no condemnation. Nonetheless, all who are dead, every single person of all of history, will be called on to meet their Maker. And all the dead shall be brought forth, and brought forth before the Lord to attend that Supreme Court judgment. You see, there will most certainly be a bodily resurrection of all the dead. That's an important text being given to us. That's why Thomas Watson has us focus on this text, to really make clear how certain it is there will be a resurrection. There is a final judgment of all men that is certainly coming, Jesus says. He goes on to say, there will most certainly be a bodily resurrection of all the dead to face that judgment of eternal life or eternal hell, not only in soul, but also with body forever. So see here, beloved, the doctrine of the resurrection as a principal doctrine of the Christian faith. There will be a bodily resurrection of the dead. And we have many examples in Scripture to show this shouldn't surprise us. Thomas Boston, in the chapter we studied of the resurrection, says, first, let's look at the Old Testament together. There are a number of examples of the bodily resurrection of people. The son of the widow in Sarepta, 1 Kings chapter 17. The Shunammite's son in 2 Kings chapter 4. The man cast into the sepulcher of Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 13. Three examples in the Old Testament of resurrection of bodies. So it shouldn't surprise us. But then he points out to us in the New Testament even more. Jairus' daughter is resurrected in Mark chapter 5. Dorcas is resurrected in Acts chapter 9. The widow's son in Nain, who is being carried out to be buried, is resurrected in Luke chapter 7. And I imagine the resurrection that you and I might think the most about, other than our Lord's, is the resurrection of Lazarus. The bodily resurrection of Lazarus, which, remember, 4 days dead, they said, Lord, he stinketh. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out, resurrected. And later we hear of him eating. That's in John chapter 11. And in that chapter, we learn that Jesus is the resurrection. He calls on Lazarus' sister to believe these things. And she says, I believe, Lord, when the Messiah comes, that there will be the resurrection. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection. You see, many resurrections have already happened, and we can trust, therefore, that there will be resurrections again. Notice in verse 25, it says, the dead shall hear. Have you ever tried to speak to a dead man or a dead woman? Have you ever thought to say, get up, hear me? They don't hear. Think about how powerful this is. It says that when Jesus speaks, dead bodies will actually hear him. Notice, they will be hearing, and they shall be raised from their graves. It says in verses 28 and 29, those in their graves shall hear him again, and they shall come out of their graves. We see that described. They will hear, these dead bodies will hear. You can picture their eyes opening, and then you can picture them sitting up and standing up and coming out of their graves. And then two more times, just to make it abundantly clear, there shall be a resurrection. There shall be a resurrection. The doctrine of the resurrection is emphasized here. But notice again, it will be all people. I don't know about you, but I've been challenged to think about this week. When we think about the resurrection, I tend to only think about the resurrection of Christians. But the Bible usually talks about the resurrection of Christians and non-Christians at the same time. So when we recite the Apostles' Creed and it says we believe the resurrection of the dead, we should understand it's not just talking about Christians, but also non-Christians. Everyone will be raised from the dead. This is a cardinal belief of the Christian faith. Christians and non-Christians, all people of all history, when Jesus speaks on the last day, will be raised from the dead. There will be a resurrection of everyone. Acts 24, verse 15. There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Both of the just and of the unjust, there shall be a resurrection of the dead. Many deny the resurrection, but none will be able to hide it when they are actually being raised from the dead. Raised unto death or raised unto life. So while beloved, be on the right side of Jesus Christ, that as you are raised from the dead, you would be standing at his right hand as you judge with him fallen angels and fallen men, because that's what he says you're going to do if you're his. When you're raised from the dead, you will be judging those who judge themselves unworthy of Christ in this life. He'll actually use you to judge them. You'll be vindicated by him and you'll be judging at his right hand. So beloved, be on the right side. Be encouraged if you are already having the first resurrection. The first resurrection is your souls having heard the gospel call and having been enlivened by the Holy Spirit, regenerated, and believing on the gospel call of the Bible. This same gospel call today. I want eternal life. Be thankful that Jesus made you able to hear his voice and be his sheep. Verse 25, the first part, it's good news for you who are his sheep. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear his voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So a little bit of different idea of hearing there. That idea of hearing is not only hearing what you say, but actually listening. Not only hearing what you say, but actually believing and obeying. He says, they who actually hear me, you have eternal life. You have been resurrected from the dead. You have the same hope of the resurrection of life. Verse 29, the first part. The dead shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. They that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. Again, this isn't teaching that you save yourself by your works, but there will be good works to show that you are his people. Just as he says in the Sermon on the Mount earlier, let your good works be the light and salt to this earth, that people will see your good works and they will come to church to glorify your Father in heaven. So these good works will show that you have received his good work for you. And so you have eternal life. The resurrection unto life is a joyous day. Judgment day is nothing to fear for the Christian. But it is a discouragement for those who are not in Christ, and they can't avoid it. Verse 29, the latter part. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Again, literally in the Greek, judgment. They who are doing evil, they who are not really showing fruit that they love Jesus and are in him, that will come out on judgment day. And they will be separated on judgment day. And they will be sent to eternal damnation on judgment day. They will no longer be able to hide. They will no longer be able to fake it. They will no longer be able to avoid Jesus. I want to encourage you to think about this as a witness. Recognizing that many people deny the resurrection, here's a question you can ask. Remember, we talk about Columbo saying, something about this bothers me. Can I ask you a question? And we're asking a question to try to get a person to listen to the point of the question, the rhetorical device, right? And then he asks to try to get the right answer. Well, here's a question you can ask people that they asked when they were witnessing the gospel in the book of Acts in the early church. And they didn't like this doctrine of the resurrection either. They thought it sounded crazy. They thought the doctrine of the resurrection sounded stupid. They mocked it. And what was the response of the witness? Why should it be, Acts 26, verse 8, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Why is that such a hard thing for you to understand? Why is the resurrection of the dead? Why would you think God can't or wouldn't do that? And Thomas Boston, in his study, leads us through the scriptural examples, leads us through these scriptures that say there is, shows us the power of God to do it and not to deny that he couldn't. But we can ask the question to those who simply deny the resurrection. I think it's a great witness to just remember to do what they said. Maybe not argue and try to prove the resurrection to those who don't want to believe. Because you can try to argue with someone who doesn't want to hear it. They won't hear anything. But you could ask the question, well, put it back in their lap. Why is this so hard to believe? Leave it with them. Why is it so hard for you to believe that God would raise people from the dead? Remember 1 Corinthians 15. The whole chapter is about the resurrection. And why? Because the Corinthians, who are much more interested in spiritual gifts and prophesying and speaking with tongues, they want to deny the resurrection. So Paul is challenging them with a whole chapter. If you deny the resurrection, then Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead. And if you deny that Jesus is raised from the dead, then you deny the whole faith. There's no point to the faith if you deny the resurrection from the dead. Paul devotes a whole chapter to it, to the Corinthian church, because they're starting to act like you don't have to believe this. You see, it's a significant doctrine that is often challenged even by people who say they're Christians. And Paul has to challenge it, and we have to be ready to challenge a denial. The resurrection of the dead is denied by many liberal churches. And it's denied by others who are trying to act like they're not liberal, but they aren't much different. The resurrection of the dead is not treated all the time as if it's such an important doctrine to believe anymore. So you need to be able to remember and see these scriptures that emphasize it. Jesus raised himself from the dead. He said, nobody takes my life and nobody gives it back. I give my life up and I take my life back. Jesus, remember, is the resurrection. And not only is he the resurrection, Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the judge who will be finally reckoned with by all mankind of all ages. There is a final judgment of all men that is certainly coming, Jesus says in the text today, against those who are defying him. There will most certainly be a bodily resurrection of the dead. And Jesus, who is the resurrection, also is the judge who will be finally reckoned with by all mankind of all ages, the quick and the dead, that is, those who are living in him and those who are dying outside of him, he will judge them all. He will be the one everyone faces. A judge demands respect in his courtroom. Anybody ever gone to court? I have. Man, oh man, when you are in court, you do not mess around with a judge, or you have contempt of court and you are out of there. And he is not concerned with whether you want to respect him or not. He demands respect. He's been given the authority to be respected. And he expects it and he calls on it. He is given authority and he's the right to be listened to. And if you keep talking against the judge, contempt of court, he'll judge you for it. This is Jesus on Judgment Day. He is the judge with all authority. See verse 27. First of all, verse 26. All life is in himself. So anybody who wants eternal life needs to get it from Jesus. Anybody who doesn't want him will not be given the eternal life. Thus they will die in hell forever. He has all life. He's the source of all life. But then verse 27. Jesus has had it given to him authority from God the Father to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man, that's a reference to Daniel. We'll come back to that. That's a reference to the prophecy of Jesus when he will come to judge the quick and the dead. But notice he says, all authority has been given to me. He says that elsewhere, the Father's not going to judge because he's given me the authority to judge. He says the same thing in verse 22, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. There will be judgment, and the text teaches he will do the judging. He is the Son of Man, verse 27. And this is referring to Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. This is Christ's favorite title about himself. He's the Son of Man. And everybody knows in the scriptures that's referring to Daniel chapter 12. And the same imagery of that is given to us in Revelation. He is the Son of Man. He's the God-man. He's the Messiah come down from heaven to be the King of kings and Lord of lords of all the earth. And in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, you read about the same thing that he says here. The Son of Man will raise the dead, some unto life, some unto death. Jesus is saying, I am that man, the Son of Man, and I will be doing the judging. I will raise them and I will be doing the judging. Notice he is also called the Son of God. He calls himself the Son of God in verse 25. As we've gone through Matthew, we've seen both phrases spoken of him by him and others. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of David. He's the Son of Man. These are all significant things they're saying about his power and his authority to be reckoned with on earth in his first coming, or you will be reckoned with him in the second coming. This is what he's saying. It's a warning that people would repent now, while today is the day of salvation. He is the Son of God. He is the eternal God, incarnate as the Son of Man. Think about this. He's the Son of God. Wow. Think about that when we go back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3. When he's getting baptized to be anointed as this Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man. God speaks down from heaven and they hear God, the Father, speak down from heaven. As the Holy Ghost comes down from heaven to anoint him in this office as prophet, priest, and king, the mediator between God and man, the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. God speaks and they actually hear. This is not normal. God usually speaks through the prophets. He does not usually speak where everybody can hear. But he speaks when his Son is being baptized and anointed as the King of kings and Lord of lords that you want to bow to now, or you bow to him later in a different way and it'll be too late. He's the Son of God, he says, with this power to judge. And remember, the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then remember in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 5, he says it again at the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then what does he say there? Hear ye him. Hear Jesus preaching. It's the same message today that he says to the churches of Revelation. Hear me. May you hear me. May you have ears to hear me. Hear ye him. The Father still says that through the preaching of the word. Hear Jesus. He is the word. And it's all his word. Hear him. Not many people are listening. But they will. That's what Jesus is encouraging us today. Not many people are listening, but they will. In fact, look at the text again today. His very voice, that's all he has to do is speak. And his voice, his just speaking, will be the cause of the rising from the dead of the graves of every person in history. All of the millions and multitudes of people throughout all history, all around the earth, he will speak and they will be raised from the dead. They will hear his voice, verses 25 to 28. That's already a raising of the dead in terms of their bodies being revived. And then it says in verse 29, they shall come forth. That is, they shall come out of the graves. Raised from the dead. The resurrection will be by the power of Christ's voice. And beloved, I'm hoping that's powerful to you today, as it was to me when we read it on Tuesday in the men's study. I'm like, wow. The resurrection of every single person's body will be simply when Jesus says, as he said to Lazarus, come forth. And he did. So Jesus on the last great day will say to every man and woman, boy and girl, whose body is dead in the ground, come forth. And they will. It will start a powerful chain reaction. Those whose bodies have been disintegrated over time, burnt by fire, torn apart by animals, broken in pieces by war, their bodies, wherever they are, their parts will be brought together as dry bones in Ezekiel. As God said, let there be life, and spoke and brought Adam into existence out of the dust and the woman out of his rib, so he will bring all people wherever they are in whatever form they are. He will bring them into existence again, their bodily connection, simply by speaking. Think at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some people came out of the graves. And the man who stood next to him said, surely this is the Son of God. Well, now when he speaks, and every man, woman, boy, and girl is risen from the dead simply because he speaks, and the earth shakes, and all are brought before the judgment throne of God, Jesus Christ being the judge. Everyone will have to say, surely he is the Son of God. Does this not impress you, beloved? May you be impressed with your Lord Jesus Christ, who has spoken to you your first resurrection. And he will speak the second resurrection, and everyone will respond. The same voice that spoke the world into being will speak at the end of the world, and everyone will hear his voice, and everyone will know that Jesus is God, and you will hear the voice of your shepherd and know your good shepherd again. Don't be ashamed of your good shepherd. As you do the door-to-door evangelism today, and you might feel a bit sheepish about it because, will anyone ever listen? Will this ever make any difference? Will anyone ever take seriously the gospel summons of King Jesus? You can be encouraged by the text today as you go out that your labor's not in vain. Everyone will hear Jesus in the end. Everyone who blocks out his voice now will hear his voice in the end. They may deny him now, but they will respond to his powerful summons on the final day of judgment by his simply speaking it to be so. On the last day, Jesus will do the talking. And we will do the walking. Everyone will do the walking. Jesus alone will be doing the talking on Judgment Day, beloved. Be strengthened and encouraged by that when you are told every religion is the truth. Every religion is the same. Beloved, Buddha will not speak on Judgment Day. Muhammad will not speak on Judgment Day. Adolf Hitler will not speak on Judgment Day. Socrates will not speak on Judgment Day. Joseph Smith will not speak on Judgment Day. Stephen Hawking will not say a word on Judgment Day. And he has found that out recently. Everybody's listening to him right now. But he won't say anything on Judgment Day. Jesus will be speaking on Judgment Day. Those people who everyone listens to now, all those false religions, Karl Marx will not be speaking on Judgment Day. They have no power to be heard by dead people. They may have some kind of earthly power to manipulate living people until they're dead. But on Judgment Day, they have no power. All these false religions, all these false philosophies, all these false governments and ways of living that take people and control people and dominate people and keep the gospel from people or teach people not to believe the gospel, they will have their teeth broken on Judgment Day. They will have their tongues stopped on Judgment Day. They cannot raise people from the dead. They have no power to be heard. They have no power to raise people from the grave by speaking. But Jesus Christ does, and he will raise them. They don't have any power to raise anybody, but they will be risen by the power of the powerful voice of Jesus Christ. They will be risen from the grave when Jesus Christ speaks from heaven at his return to earth. That the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow on Judgment Day. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, verses 10 to 11. When the honorable Jesus says, "All rise," no one will be able to hide under a rock, though they will cry out for rocks to fall upon them. No one will be able to hide under a rock and avoid hearing his final verdict. Instead, all shall rise when the beloved Son speaks. May you go away with encouragement as sheep who hear his voice today. May you go away with encouragement to call on people to hear his voice while they still can today, knowing that in the end, you will be vindicated for trusting in him. And all shall rise when the beloved Son speaks then. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, thank you for speaking to your sheep. We trust that all are your sheep and have heard your voice and have listened to you and have been impressed with you and your powerful voice. As you speak to us from heaven now, calling on us to have ears to hear what you have to say in the Spirit, we pray thanksgiving that you have caused your sheep to hear your voice, to be encouraged to know they will hear you again, and your very voice that they have heard giving them the soul's resurrection will give them a bodily resurrection in union with Christ unto eternal life. How powerful it is to think of you, and that everyone, even those who have not heard your voice now, everyone shall hear, everyone shall be raised by your voice. What power you have, O Lord of lords and King of kings, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last, to whom and through whom and of whom are all things. Let us marvel at the speaking of your voice from heaven now. And let us be encouraged every time we hear it. And we pray that you would see fit as we go out today, that you would help people, your elect, where your wind, your spirit would blow, to hear your voice through the scriptures and to be saved, to know your voice as sheep and to have the first resurrection, that at the second resurrection they would never taste the second death, but their bodies from the first death would be raised in Christ in union with him unto eternal life. We ask that you would see fit to do a work, O Lord, that you would cause people to hear your voice, and that you would help us to always hear your voice. We lift up your name on high. We magnify King Jesus in this place. And we await your final summons. And we thank you for helping to already respond in this day. Bless us, we pray. Bless the preaching of your gospel. Let it not come back void. Let it be heard. And let it have its changing effect in all of our lives. For you give light, Lord, and then we have light.